It's Open Mic Friday, November the 30th in the year of our Lord, 2012. I'm Tom Baker, your host for Law and Gospel. And because it's Open Mic Friday, what does that mean? It means that you can phone me on any subject at all. So don't worry about it. I'll be kind of waiting for you to open up on those phone numbers, and we'll be glad to take a look at some of the things that you might want to speak about. All righty. What are we going to talk about today in the meantime? I received a message from one of our listeners who simply was asking about whether the book of Proverbs is a book to follow in order to have a really good life. And that's what we're going to be talking about a little bit here, because I took some study on this ahead of time by taking a look at Proverbs. And what I found out is that what people think Proverbs are really good statements, but they kind of sound, how shall I put it, commonsensical. So when we're talking about Proverbs that sound commonsensical, then I'll tell you, the Bible's book on Proverbs is anything but that. I know a lot of people don't understand that, but for example, if you just take a look at what people consider to be various Proverbs, you'll see that they seem to be talking about our experience. And I'll just give you a few. Give and ye shall receive. Now, even some of these appear to be quotes from the Bible, but people are using them with a law motivation. Well, what I mean by that is, if you give, then you'll receive. Another one I really like that's never found in the Bible anywhere: God helps them that help themselves. Have you ever heard that one? Yeah, God helps them that helps themselves. You know, you want a God like that? I sure don't. I'm not a God who's only going to help me when I'm doing most of the work. Cleanliness is next to godliness. This saying suggests that being clean is nearly as good as being holy. Count your blessings. Well, that's often said to people who are worrying about something, and they should instead be counting their blessings. Crime doesn't pay. Well, if you engage in illegal activities, you will not make money in the long run. So once you have this kind of view of Proverbs, I can see why the individual who is talking to me is really confused when he hears, and he said it was some kind of a group he was listening to, namely about Proverbs being the way to have a good life. And I'll tell you this, the book of Proverbs has the very opposite point of view. If you follow the book of Proverbs, guess what? You will be persecuted. There's no promise anywhere in the entire book of Proverbs that you're going to have a good life. Not from a human point of view. So I thought we would just take a look at some of them to try and show that what's found in Proverbs, it's called revelation from God. And therefore, if it's revelation from God, it must be contrary to common sense. What? Well, because God doesn't think like a normal human being. And even more to say to the point, we human beings don't think like God at all. You know, if you listen to my Mondays, when we talk about the readings for the day, one of the purposes of a sermon is to get people to think like God, because by nature we don't think like God. Our old Adam always gets in the front of all of our thinking. And that's why many Bible verses are misunderstood, because you're thinking like a human being rather than thinking like God. You can just point to anywhere in Proverbs. And if you've got a verse you want me to talk about, just give me a ring. 505-7850, toll free, 1-800-730-2727. Proverbs chapter 10. By the way, the book of Proverbs was originally called the Proverbs of Solomon. We ended up talking about using the word Proverbs because that's the first word in the book, Proverbs. But they're of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. So let's take a look at chapter 10, verse 1, but really you can go anywhere at all. And I'll show you how, if you follow the book of Proverbs, you are going to be persecuted. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. You see how that sounds commonsensical? A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Do you know when Mary grieved? Remember, they had gone to Jerusalem when Jesus was 12 years old. And Jesus stayed behind. In fact, they found him in the temple. Mary and Joseph were not happy about that, especially when he said he had to be about his father's business. She grieved over that. But that's not because Jesus was acting foolishly. And see, this is where you really need to know the code words in the scripture. What is the difference between a wise son and a foolish son? Well, all you have to do is go throughout the whole Bible and look up those words, like the virgins, the wise and the foolish virgins. What we're talking about is not somebody who's smart versus somebody who's not so smart. Wise and foolish refer to somebody who is a believer versus someone who is an unbeliever. Jesus is probably the best example of the wise son. He made a glad father. At the baptism and the transfiguration, God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." But because he was a believer and because he was wise in all that he said and did, he got crucified. Specifically because of his wisdom. Talking about the necessity of Pharisees to have their sins forgiven. Sounded ridiculous. And as you go throughout all of this, you'll see that happening. But as I promised, we'll be glad to go to the phone lines. Let's go and talk to John. Hi, John.
Hi, Pastor Tom. How are you doing today?
Good.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a question regarding the first two commandments, particularly the second commandment. You must not lift up the name of Yahweh, your God, like the empty thing. For Yahweh will not allow to go unpunished anyone who lifts up his name like the empty thing. I belong to it.
Where are you reading that from? What verse?
Well, actually, I'm reading it out of the book, The Anonymous God.
Yep. Yeah, it's not a Bible verse, is it?
Well, he said the translation of the English
might allow that.
Huh?
Might allow his interpretation.
Yeah.
Okay.
But still, taking the name's Lord in vain. But here's my question. Taking the Lord's name in vain.
Yeah.
I belong to a 12-step group. And and in that 12-step group, you know, they encourage you to choose a higher power of your own conception or a God of your own conception. And many of them think that God can go by many names. And at the end of the 12-step group, people gather together, hold hands, and pray the Lord's Prayer. But I refuse to do that because I do not want to take the Lord's name in vain and treat him like other gods.
Well said.
Am I right in doing that, or am I taking it too far?
No, no. We can say the Lord's Prayer. My best friend when I was growing up was a man named Don Gardner, who was Jewish. And we went to a school where they began not only with a nationalistic kind of vows at the beginning of the school day, but also saying the Lord's Prayer. And I asked him, how can you say the Lord's Prayer? And he says, well, I just don't think it has anything to do with Jesus. And that really woke me up to the fact that we're living in a pluralistic society, because the name Jesus never appears in the Lord's Prayer, so people can take the Lord's Prayer any way they want. If they think they're praying to Allah, they can say the Lord's Prayer thinking they're praying to Allah. The point I'm trying to make here is when you're in a group that is interpreting God's word in a way that is contrary to the way God interprets it, then it would be wrong for you to participate in their worship. And I think you made the exact correct understanding there, because you said, the only way I will pray the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, is that Father has to refer to the Father of Jesus Christ, my Savior. And Amen. If you don't think it does, then you're praying to an idol, and I cannot participate in praying to an idol.
Okay. Well, Pastor Tom, thank you very much for addressing the question, and April wanted me to tell you hi as well.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much. Good to hear from both of you. Yeah, John and April, longtime friends. Knew them even when I was on the former radio stations I was on. And I went to the hospital when April had her baby. So that was great, great time. Yes, remember, you can interrupt me on the topics that we're doing at any time. If you have something that is on your mind, like John did, I have no problems with that at all. So don't hesitate to do so. We're taking a look at how Proverbs is really different in its understanding, because the book of Proverbs is a revelation not from Solomon. He was only the writer. It's a revelation from God. Therefore, Proverbs does not make common sense, since it's part of God's wisdom. So let's kind of take a look at some of the verses here. And I can just go anywhere. The wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. Now, what that's referring to, it sounds like it's a common sense thing. That if you're wise, you'll obey the laws, like the speeding laws, the taxation laws, and this kind of thing. But a prating fool, you know, somebody who isn't obeying the laws, he's going to fall. See, you can make it into a common sense proverb. But what it's really talking about is the distinction between law and gospel. Because when it says the wise in heart will receive commands, that word receive actually can be a technical word, like they would receive the tradition of the fathers and then pass it down to others. To receive commands from God means that you do receive them. You don't reject them. That's what's being said here. And if you receive the commands of God, you will be persecuted. You're not going to have a great life from a human point of view. Oh, you want an example? Okay, you're, say, a mother or father, and you've got two children. And they're going to high school. There's a high school here in St. Louis in the county that just had a play about that homosexual that was dragged behind a car. And, of course, the people who did that should be arrested. But what it led to was the vast majority of kids in the school thinking that homosexuality is an okay lifestyle. So if you have a son or daughter going to that school, and they follow this, receive God's commands. In the conversation with others, they would be saying that homosexual activity is an abomination before Almighty God. You don't think that they're going to be made fun of? You don't think that they're going to be persecuted? Absolutely. We've even seen that what happens with gay marriage. In California, when the Christian churches were able to get enough votes to stop gay marriage until the liberal judges just decided to change it around. But at that point, there were actually vandalism done to churches. And there were even Christians who were accosted because they were opposed to gay marriage. You need to understand that Proverbs isn't really about you. What's the whole Bible about? It's about Jesus. Let's take an example, and I'll show you what I mean by that. Verse 11. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Now, what does that mean? Well, once more, the righteous are the believers, the violent are the unbelievers. The mouth of the righteous, Jesus, is a well of life. In fact, what did he himself say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And what did the violent people do? They crucified him. They crucified him because his mouth was a well of life. You see, we're looking at it from God's point of view. Many people don't think what Christianity teaches is life at all. It's instead intolerance. They got all kinds of bad things to say about us. You follow the rules in Proverbs, and you're going to be persecuted, just as Jesus was. Proverbs isn't a book if you're looking for a good life here on earth to follow. The more silent you are, the better your life will be. So that people really don't know where you take a stand. You know what happens at dinners. What are the two worst things to talk about? Politics and religion. So people who get along with everybody tend not to really have a point of view in those areas. How different that is from Jesus. How different it is from Proverbs. Let's go back to the phone line and talk with James. Hi, James.
Yes, Pastor. Could you take a look at Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6, and Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7, and the last one is Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, in the way that you are talking about them today.
All right. Be glad to do that. Thank you for calling, James.
Thank you.
Okay. Proverbs, take a look at each one of these then. Proverbs 16, verse 6. Let me read it. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. Okay, sometimes the verse isn't always just law and then gospel. Sometimes it's just kind of good news. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. Now, what does that mean? Where do we get atonement from? In fact, you can break the word up, at-one-ment. How do we become one with God? Because of his mercy and truth. You see, first of all, he's merciful to you, which means he does not give you what you deserve. That won't work in the temporal realm. Especially in the temporal realm, you have to give people what they deserve. If they put in a day's worth of wages, you better pay them a day's worth of wages. But we're not talking about common sense theology here. We're talking about revealed theology, that atonement is provided for iniquity. Iniquity is just another word for sin, and atonement means you get one with God again. And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. Now, what does that mean? It means a God-given fear of the Lord, a God-fearing person, so loves the Lord Jesus Christ that it's kind of an automatic departing from evil. you may be tempted. Let's say you're an alcoholic and you're tempted to have a drink somewhere. But because of your love for Jesus, you withstand that temptation. Verse 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now, what does that mean? Well, number one, you don't do something to please the Lord. That would be an ulterior motive. It's just that the believer spontaneously does things that please the Lord. And when that occurs, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. For example, I'll just give you one example of this. You have a neighbor, and he's always letting the leaves from his trees go in your backyard. You don't like that very much, and he knows you don't like it. Well, one day, while he's away, the hose that he has watering his lawn breaks, and water is gushing all over the place. In fact, it's heading towards his basement and could probably flood the basement. So you go over and turn off the water. Now, he drives in and says, what are you doing over at my house? And then you explain, and he sees all the water there. Guess what? What you have done pleases the Lord. And that next-door neighbor is going to be at peace with you in a way that he wasn't before. But that really doesn't have anything to do with psychology that teaches you these things, because the goal of psychology is to manipulate the neighbor to get to like you. What's being said here is when you try to manipulate the neighbor, you still might become friends with him, but it doesn't please the Lord. To please the Lord means you're going to have to do a sacrifice. You're going to have to give in on your desire to revenge, for example. And that's not easy to do. Oh, with our time running out, let me try and get to verse 25. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. That's a great verse to show what I'm trying to get across here. The way that seems right to a man is always the sinful way. When was the last time you ever did sin on purpose with really not wanting to do it or really knowing it's wrong? No, the reason we sin is because we think we're wiser than God, and by doing this we're going to have a better life. So what seems right to us, its end is the way of death. And there are so many examples of that. Like somebody tells you, maybe your car dealership, that you're really losing your brakes and you need to get them fixed. But it seems right to you to let them go on for longer. And then your child is driving in the car, the brakes don't work, and guess what? He dies in an accident. I mean, there are countless ways in which what seems right to a man will lead to death. And in our society, it seems right to us that we ought not be thinking that Jesus is the only God that saves. We're living in a pluralistic society. We have to be more tolerant. But the book of Proverbs says, no, you need to be more truthful. But when you are truthful in this society, you will be persecuted. And the reason you will be persecuted is you're going against the common sense of the world. Remember, the common sense of the world, the proverbs of the world, all make kind of sense, and they're on the basis of experience. Like, many hands make light work. That simply means the more people to do a job, the easier the job is for each person. So human proverbs have absolutely nothing to do with biblical proverbs, because human proverbs come out of the experience of a man. They're always theology of glory, upon which we base our own experience, in contrast to the proverbs of God that are revealed And you can't really find them anywhere in any other religion. So, though they sound commonsensical, though people think that if I follow them, I'll really have a good life, that's just a lie of the devil. Yeah, even though there are denominations like some of the Reformed, a number of the evangelicals who really think, like one of the sayings going around now, the reason you're not getting blessed is you're not doing enough good works. I refer to that kind of teaching as the teaching of the laity. Those who aren't really understanding theology, and therefore they think in commonsensical ways, and they miss the insights that we find, for example, in the book of Proverbs, or some of the other things that we've been talking about. I'm Tom Baker. Thanks so much for listening. We'll look forward to having you back on Monday when we're going to be talking about John the Baptizer straightening the way out. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.